What you're about to listen to is a very early recording of the 4F Film Review Podcast featuring myself, Shay, and my good friend, Eric. This episode was recorded before we had hosting, chemistry, on-mic skills, or even a proper name for the podcast. Please keep all of these things in mind and try to excuse any audio or flow issues that may occur as a result of listening to two bozos talk about movies and cut their teeth in the realm of podcast production. I guarantee you that it will at least be more entertaining than all of those podcasts hosted by celebrities that are neither funny nor interesting. Enjoy. I thought you said you'd be quiet. It's Eric and Shay Watch Movies, Episode 5, Verbal Abuse Edition.
At this point, why not? I mean, if you're tuning in to us, I mean...
If you've made it through five episodes...
It's a social contract at this point.
Is there anyone who you think is just, like, picking up mid-season like this that is just jumping into right away, Episode 5? Forget 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, I mean...
You might as well start the beginning.
If they're looking at this on a feed and they see The Meg.
Oh, I love that movie. I got to check that one out.
Exactly. What might be their inner monologue.
Here's what they did. They love The Meg so much. Every day they go on their podcast app of choice. They search for The Meg. Podcast about the Meg.
Exactly. And that's probably how we're going to see a huge spike from directly
the huge Meg fan base out there. Yes. Here's a question for you. Do you think that there's anybody in the world, any single person, whose favorite movie is The Meg? No judgment, just to be clear.
No. I can't imagine there would be. Wait. No. There are over a billion people in China who this movie was definitely marketed towards as much as the American audience. So maybe more so.
So you think there is someone in China who this is their Jaws, you know, like they saw this movie and they said, I see myself represented in the female lead for this movie.
I could see the characters in this being more relatable to a Chinese audience than Sheriff Brody. You know, I mean, Sheriff Brody's just some white dude who, you know, he's just fighting a great white shark. This is The Meg we're talking about.
But how relatable is Jason Statham to an international audience?
Well, that doesn't matter because we have honorable Chinese characters that are there to, you know, be along with Jason Statham as they take care of the Meg.
I mean, the female lead who, I'm so sorry, we were unprepared. I don't know the name of any actors in this movie except for Rainn Wilson and Jason Statham. So we should look that up real quick, and I will vamp.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that Lee Big Big, which sounds like a terribly made up name.
You sound like you're being offensive now.
I sound like I'm being offensive, but I'm sure that she has done many movies. I am unaware of her past credits. But yes, in any case, there's definitely a market for China in this.
Our audience calls us out for being anti-Chinese, as it probably sounds like we're being extremely offensive. We're laughing because of how dumb this movie is.
And
it's not the Chinese's fault this movie is dumb, to be clear.
No, not at all. But they definitely did contribute to the $500 million this movie made at the box.
$500 million. What was the budget? Like 150?
It gave a range of like 140 to 170.
I'm good. Like all right, hey.
And it made like 530 or something.
Okay, that's a successful summer blockbuster. Make no mistake, this is a summer blockbuster. And this kind of closes out. Eventually, we'll talk about the movie, I swear. This kind of closes out our little string of summer blockbusters that we've been seeing.
But this was more our... at this point, we were on to just the things-eating people subgenre.
Yeah, the things-eating people subgenre of summer blockbuster. Next week, we're watching Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, not a summer blockbuster at all. I can't remember. I think that was released.
I don't know. Well, it's not a blockbuster.
It was an Oscar bait movie.
Well, yeah, because it's good. Anyway, we're not watching Silence of the Lambs next week. Yeah, we're watching something much better.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll give you that at the end. That's a professional tease. Right. Let's talk about the movie, Eric.
Yeah.
What did you think? What did you think of it? This is both of our first times viewing The Meg.
Yeah, yeah. We both went into this one pretty cold. You know,
it came out pretty cold, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was is that we both were surprised at about the basically the first act was actually like surprisingly competent and did not seem dumb or, you know, I mean, it was generically paint by numbers, as you were pointing out. You know,
the whole first 30-40 minutes of this movie is them just being scientists going on an expedition to the bottom of the ocean, basically.
Yeah.
And them basically having a situation where they couldn't get out and they needed to send Jason Statham. He was the only man for the job. He's the only one who could go down there and save them. Never mind that the female lead, whose name I keep forgetting, Su Yin, I think her name was?
I believe.
The character's name.
I believe so.
So never mind the fact that Su Yin also went down there herself, like, immediately on no notice and also basically almost saved those people.
She went, you know.
But like, Jason Statham's the only man for the job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, he's the only person who had done a dive that deep.
But apart from that, at that moment, relatively grounded, right, for the first 30 to 40 minutes of the film. Mm-hmm. And then we completely go off the rails. This giant megalodon shark that apparently lives down there was able to get through the thermocline layer of, again, this is like the Jurassic Park thing. There was enough science for it to be, like, plausible.
Yeah. Yeah. So apparently at the bottom of the ocean, there's, like, you know, there's the volcanic vents and stuff like that. And it made like a temperature zone where it's like, you know, like 80 degrees Fahrenheit or something like that, it said.
Just below that, it's just cold enough.
There's like a trench below that where there's this other deep sea life that's down there that they're, you know, exploring, and that Rain Wilson totally wants to, you know,
he wants to cash
financially
in.
Exploit. And, you know, and then they figure out, oh, wait, there's something big down here that messes up the rescue ship or they got to be rescued. And then they realize, oi, there's a Meg down here.
This is a great Jason Statham impression.
Thank you.
They're only going to get better and more frequent throughout the rest of this episode. So we have a lot to say on The Meg, I think, in case it isn't clear. Just like the fact that this movie exists at all, I think, is a kind of a sign of the times a little bit in terms of just how dumb it is and how unconcerned they are with creating a serious product. And that's really what makes the second half of this movie, or the second two-thirds of this movie, kind of go off the rails in such a seemingly unhinged way. You have this somewhat grounded, somewhat plausible scientific setup, and then it's just boom, biggest shark in the world, destroying everything and being way too smart.
You know, I mean, there is of course the phrase jumping to the shark, and it feels like the shark doesn't just get jumped, it gets jumped and then it gets jumped again. So it's like, if you think of like multiple motorcycles being jumped over on top of each other, it's that absurd by the end. But, you know,
I mean, not to just hit every key plot point in the movie, but there is a point where they think they've got the shark because they got a really freaking big shark, and then it turns out that's not the shark.
Yeah, well, it's a Meg, it's not the Meg, there's more than one. Yeah, spoilers. Yeah, there's more than one megalodon in this film, and potentially that's what leads to the sequels, though we have not seen them.
There are two sequels now. The third one is out in January.
There will
reportedly
be a third one apparently in January.
I do have to back up a second and take issue with the fact that you just said spoilers, because if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't watched the movie, what are you doing? And then second of all, if you're listening to this podcast and you have watched the movie, but you weren't able to predict every single beat that this movie had in it, I don't know that we can help you. You probably missed a lot of the plot along the way.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's unfortunate about The Meg, if we're trying to be honest.
Well, for criticizing it as a movie.
Is that, you know, you could tell the beats. You knew when somebody was going to get eaten. You may not have known exactly who. Probably
there were a lot
did.
Of people in the water at points in time, but you could always sense like, okay, they're setting up, you know, this guy to be the one who dies next.
Somebody's definitely going to die now.
Because he just had an emotional moment on the, like, when Su Yin's father died, who is like the lead of the expedition, or he's like the guy in charge. When he died, he had a moment right before he died where he was like, this is what humans always do. We always discover and then destroy. And then he dies. It's like, well... I guess, to be fair, you kind of brought that one on yourself, my friend.
Live by the shark, die by the shark.
when they do eventually kill the giant shark, the Meg, as it were, when they do kill that one, you drop that one-liner. Yes. As the sharks circled in and began their feeding frenzy on the giant shark. And I was like, you know, I'm really surprised that they didn't figure out a way to get that line into the movie, because this movie was really lacking in the traditional summer blockbuster one-liners. That would have been a good opportunity to throw one of those in there.
They did. I mean, they tried, but they didn't. The one-liners didn't land. They
just stole them all from Jaws, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't want to be like they didn't want to overtly use them. So
what was the Jason Statham one where he was trying to
chomp on this, you bastard?
It's really good.
It's just terrible, you know. And yeah, so there's a lot of misses on things, as well as like the romantic subplot that doesn't really hit either. Ultimately, it hits early.
They introduced one of the people that initially needs to be rescued by Jason Statham as his ex-wife, which is why he ultimately decides to go and do the rescue mission. He's like, I'm retired from rescue missions.
yes.
He says
exactly,
just like that.
Exactly.
And so, but they're like, well, your ex-wife is the one who's down there. He's like, oh crap. And then, you know, he goes and saves her.
Well, but really, ultimately, the thing is that we learned is that, well, because that was the thing is, at first I felt like, he's got to get her and it'll be a will they won't thing.
They barely interact after that.
No, they barely interact. So in reality, Jason Statham, he felt the motivation to go down and do this super deep, incredibly dangerous dive that he said he wouldn't do for a whole bunch of money or anything like that. He goes down there because his ex-wife is down there, and he goes down there because he wants to say, I told you so.
That's literally the first thing he says, is this a bad time for I told you so?
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, because he encountered a Meg previously.
Well, they don't know what it was.
They don't know what it was, but he believed it was a Meg.
Well, he didn't know what it was. He just said there's something down there.
I think it was inferred that
How would he know what it was? They never saw it.
Well, it was really big and it was aggressive, so...
So obviously it's a giant prehistoric shark.
Obviously it's a giant prehistoric shark. Which, by the way, like, general, like, biology thing, ecology thing that we need to, you know, impart some real science. Like, if you've got a creature that's that big, it has to have prey that it can eat on. Like,
well, it's eating whales, reportedly. Yeah, and it ate, like, that giant squid.
But they're contained in this small subterranean... I mean, I don't know how big this subterranean trench is, but, like, is it hundreds of miles?
Well, it has to be. There were at least two Megs down there.
Yeah, but it's inferred that there could be plenty more. There's colossal squid... You know, so, but, like, I mean, there's not that much life that's going to be that far deep in the...
I guess, but also, if you want to take issue with the way that this movie presents those sharks and the plausibility of them, like, the fact that the shark keeps changing sizes is also something you could probably point the finger
at. There are multiple Megs.
So are you saying that there are multiple different Megs that were not killed in this movie that were already...
There could have been... Like eight
they
Megs.
Were getting stalked by like eight Megs.
Yes, there were eight Megs that they were engaged with at different times.
What is the
we
name of
know.
The Meg sequel? Is it Megs like Aliens with the dollar sign? Because it probably should have been. So I don't, you know, we usually struggle with this because we do like, you know, 5 minutes of prep before we start recording these. And we're like, where do we even go from here? What are we going to talk about with this movie? And to some extent, it writes itself. But I really am at a loss as to where to go from here, because we've talked about how the movie is dumb. We've talked about how it's not plausible from a scientific perspective. Like, why do you think, here's my pitch for the next topic. Why do you think people like going to see movies like this?
I mean, I do think there is an element of like, I think people, at least for an American audience, they would think, oh, this is just big, dumb movie.
It's like something to do.
I'll watch some people get eaten. Let's see the Meg. It's 2018. What else did they have going on?
It was like 2011, I think.
No, it was 2018.
Was it really that recent?
Yeah, that was my mistake, was I thought it was 2011. You actually remembered that. You actually remembered my mistake.
I remember very little. Wow, yeah, it is 2018. Okay, well, yeah. Then, you know, then it makes sense that we're only on to number three, because it made so much money. You think there would have been six of them by now.
Yeah. I mean, and Jason Statham, I mean, come on. He's ready to work.
Well, he doesn't age. I mean, he could have looked like that in any year. He's been in the Fast and the Furious movies since, what, 7? And he was in The Beekeeper, which was dreadful.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a movie star for 20 years.
Where was this movie in the Jason Statham, you know, canon for you? Where does it rank? You know, is this one of his better films? You've seen more Jason Statham movies than I have.
I may have. I'm not sure. I haven't seen that many Jason Statham.
Well, we've both seen The Beekeeper. Okay, that's
yeah.
Two. This was much better than that movie. I will give it that.
Is this better than The Beekeeper?
The fact that you have to ask yourself this question is unbelievable to me.
I mean, Meg was not a good movie.
The Beekeeper was barely a movie.
Yeah, but it was really bad. So, I mean, it was pretty. It was, I mean, we know all about protecting the hive.
Jason Statham was barely in that movie. He was the most interesting thing about it. He was barely in it. It became a subplot about like how the president's son was gonna blow up the world or something.
Oh, man.
I don't even remember. It doesn't matter.
It was bad.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna remember anything from this movie.
You'll remember the magical changing shark sizes, presumably.
I mean, I will. By the way, I want to question
the parenting choice of raising your
kid on a subaquatic base. I just don't think that's a...
What, are you going to get a full-time babysitter for back on the mainland? Like, she's got to go somewhere. She's a single mother. They addressed the father, like, at some point. Like, the father was in the picture and then wasn't?
Yeah, well...
Did he get eaten
mainly,
by a shark? And that's...
He was mainly not in the picture so that Jason Statham's, like, romantic angle with her could be a viable thing. That was the only reason why they mentioned, like, he's not around. That was what I took from
so
it.
So the father is basically a
so it was
plot
like, oh,
device.
Oh, yeah, you've got a clear shot for you, Jason. You know, because, like, she was clearly angling for it, and so was the little girl. And, yeah, which is all weird. Don't do that.
If you're trying to date a mother of a child... Don't endear yourself to the child first, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
that seems like a
and,
bad...
And also, children in that situation, don't encourage them to bone. That's just weird.
I mean, she wasn't explicitly encouraging them to bone. It was just, she was
it was implied.
He was like, oi, why don't we go on a vacation with your mother? And she said... Well, we'll have to ask her, and then winked at him, and I don't know what
that
means. That
was the thing, was he said, I'm going to take a vacation.
Oh, I need a vacation, bro.
And then she, like, invites both of them. She's like, we should ask my mommy.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Right.
I feel like I wouldn't be able to take a vacation immediately following that. I feel like it would ruin the vacation, because I would just be thinking about almost getting eaten by a shark, like, 7 or 8 times the entire time.
The PTSD of... Of a shark size of like 30 meters long.
Yeah, I would have said, I need to sign up for betterhelp.com. Then I need a vacation.
We're going to have to bleep that out because they aren't a sponsor yet.
Not
so
yet.
We're not paying.
We don't, by the,
not
hey,
giving away that.
Listen, by the time, use code Eric for 10% off your first session of therapy.
Wait,
discuss nothing with
name?
You.
Why is my name the code?
Because your name is the first one in the name of the podcast. So it's code Eric. It's not going to be code Eric and Shay. That's too many letters.
Well, I just don't. If it's for BetterHelp, though, like that implies that I'm the crazy one. When I think we're both crazy. So we're going to have the bonus code be Shay and Eric. I'm going to.
Why? But people are not going to know how to spell my name. Yours is more common.
I'm sorry, but our fan base is just going to have to learn that.
And anyway, you don't know that BetterHelp isn't a sponsor. They very well could be by now, because if you're listening to this,
well, that's
we've
true.
Decided to publish this.
Well, actually, they may become the sponsor after this. Because, you know,
we're giving them a free ad read.
We're getting that Meg bounce that we've already talked about at the beginning.
Dead Meg bounce.
And also, we haven't discussed the thing that BetterHelp specifically would be could be important for, which is the new condition that we learned about in this film.
Yes, I'm glad you brought this up. You know, this is an important medical. We discovered that this is a real thing.
Yes, this is a real thing. Jason Statham is accused of suffering in the past from pressure-induced psychosis.
Yeah, he went too far under the water and he started going crazy, started seeing things. He left mm-hmm. those people to die. He left eight people to die.
Yeah, because
of his pressure-induced...
He thought there was a Meg.
Yeah, which there totally wasn't. And even if there was, like, I don't understand this idea that they're blaming him for leaving them behind when he made a calculated decision to get them away from a submarine that was literally about to explode.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty clear. Even if they didn't know that,
by the way, this is from
that was smashing into that submarine.
This is from the first part of the movie, by the way. In case you've forgotten, there was a movie before they introduced the giant shark.
Right. Yeah. There's a setup for Jason Statham, establishing that he knows that there's something bad down there, so that he can be like, "Oi, I knew it."
At one point, the doctor character, who is the one who diagnosed him with pressure-induced psychosis, he apologizes to him and says, "You were right." And Jason Statham, his reaction is so, like, indifferent to the whole thing. It's just, it's, man, this movie was something else.
It really was. And second one made about $400 million.
Also, it declined.
It declined, of course. You know, law of depreciating returns. This is a normal thing. So I would expect this next one to make about $300 million. And
maybe they'll make a fourth one.
Maybe they will.
Was Jason Statham in the second one?
I presume so.
This came out in 2023. I'll have Eric look it up while I continue to vamp. We are, unless we make it to 1,005 episodes, not going to watch Meg 2. So I thought it would be a fun little exercise to close this episode by talking about what we think will happen in Meg 2, but you've got your information
here.
Yeah,
we've got the same leads and the little
really?
Girl.
The little girl's in it too?
Little girl.
5 years older.
Yeah, and it looks like we've got some of the auxiliary cast as well, one or two of the others.
Well, the doctor didn't make it. The Toshi didn't make it.
Dude, DJ is in.
Is DJ in it?
DJ's in
is
it.
He married to a Mandarin, a Mandarin-speaking woman of some kind?
I don't
is,
know.
Is Pippin
well,
in it?
I mean, should be two of them, to be
Is
honest.
He married to two Chinese women?
I mean, I hope so.
Is Pippin in it?
We can hope. That Pippin is the best character in
Pippin
the film.
Was the star of the movie.
And the bravest character in the movie, arguably. I mean, especially if we're speaking from a proportionate
yeah, like bravery by the pound, Pippin definitely has the most of it.
Yeah, Pippin is a little Yorkie that falls off a boat.
No, he didn't fall off the boat. He jumped into the water.
Oh, that's correct.
He wanted to go for a swim.
Yeah, he wanted to be near his owner who gets eaten.
No. The owner does not.
That's right.
Not to discuss all the many other subplots going on in this movie. There is a wedding subplot. There is a wedding on a boat in the middle of the ocean. Right as the Meg is getting close to the shore to eat all the people, there is a wedding party on a boat. And the wedding party, most of them except the bride and groom, like jumping in the water. And the bride's like, "What are you doing? You're ruining my wedding." Which I don't know what that means. But then her dog Pippin jumps out of her arms into the water and into the waiting mouth of the shark, or so we are led to believe. Until at the end of the movie, Pippin is miraculously still alive, even when there's no reason for him to be alive.
I'm kind of upset, though, that we didn't get a one shot of Jason Statham holding Pippin.
Jason Statham and Pippin are
just
a pair.
Tough and, you know, stoic.
Well, Pippin softens Statham's image a little bit.
I mean,
Jason's doing Late Night with Jimmy Fallon with Pippin.
It would probably launch him to that next level where, I mean, actually, he's probably above The Rock
now because The Rock has slipped.
Who, Pippin or Jason Statham?
Jason Statham is above Pippin, the next action star.
There is no way that Jason Statham is a bigger action star than The Rock.
At this point, I think The Rock is slipping. He's had some misses.
I mean, Red One was terrible, but I don't think Jason Statham could have carried that movie. The Rock carried that movie. I don't think Statham could have done it.
No, we may have to look at some recent box office returns. But
oh boy,
Statham may be a more reliable bet than Mr. Black Adam himself. Whatever.
Well, just wait until Wrecking Machine comes out.
It's already out, and it did less than
9 to 15 million. That's it.
That was what they projected for its first weekend.
But The Rock is in it. Well, yeah. Maybe that proves your point. I don't know.
The Rock is not. He doesn't have the same juice. No, it's not. It's not 2019 or something like that. If The Rock were in The Meg, it would have been a bigger movie.
But, I was going to ask if The Rock was in The Meg 3. Because that seems like a natural...
No. If the Rock were in Meg 3, it would do worse.
If The Rock were in Meg 3, they could have shot it in American Samoa, and they could have got all of his family to be in it, too. Just like in that one Fast and Furious movie, which was Hobbs and Shaw.
That was Hobbs and Shaw.
Yes, excuse me.
That was spinoff.
Featuring Jason Statham.
Featuring Jason Statham as well.
And Roman Reigns as...
I mean, the whole bloodline could get in there.
Solo Sikoa as the Meg's son.
And they're just going to hit the Meg with enough chairs that it goes down.
Oh, all fins, no breaks. Now, let's talk about our predictions for the Meg 2. We're not going to watch the Meg 2 for another 1,000 episodes, but if we make it to 1,005, I guarantee you we will watch it. So what's going to happen in the Meg sequel? Come on, I've given you like 45 minutes to think about
this. I mean, obviously, bigger body count, more Megs.
More Megs. So, more than two.
So, yeah, there's got to be at least three Megs then.
Three Megs, okay.
Even though it's Meg 2, there'll be three.
There'll be at least three. I think there could be upwards of like eight.
I mean, yeah.
I think maybe one washes up dead on the shore. That's how it starts. One washes up dead on the shore, and they're like... I thought we'd put all this behind. I thought we'd put all this behind us.
I mean, and then as the foremost Meg expert in the world, Jason Statham has to go fight more Megs. I'm upset, though. I was really hoping and praying we were going to get
a roundhouse kick
to the Meg's snout.
There was no kick.
And that did not happen.
There was no punch, but... To be fair, he was right up in there, you know.
And he popped the shit out of its eye, dude.
That's ultimately what killed it. Was the harpoon to the eye. Everyone knows the eyes are the weak spot on a Meg,
right?
You know, it's just like a video game,
right? Well, I think there was poison associated with it too. I don't know.
I mean, whatever. Like, they poisoned that shark a long time before that happened. Or was that a different...
That was the one that they killed that was on the boat. That was that one. So this was another... So, yeah, I think...
This is the second Meg was not poisoned. Okay.
Correct.
The plot is kind of hard to...
It's very subtle and nuanced.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, nuance in a big shark movie. is it's hard to come by, and I think the Meg pulled it off. And I think we have just pulled off another successful episode, or we at least talked for 30 minutes.
Yeah, we did.
So there's that. I guess that'll do it for this one. But before we go, we need to introduce a new direction for this. Well, not the whole podcast.
A new angle for our next thing, because we've been through.
We watched our summer blockbusters.
We've been through the things eating people, but we're already on it. You didn't realize it.
Yeah, well, it was like a Venn diagram. You know, it's not just like you move from one thing to the next thing. You transition. You phase through it.
We've already transitioned, and you didn't even know it.
Well, I didn't. I knew it, but I didn't want to, you know, make it all obvious to the audience.
Right,
they could pick up on this. It's artistic.
It is, because our next film that we will be watching is the 1999 classic, You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail.
Featuring
Jason Statham.
No, Jason Statham, fortunately. It is a Meg Ryan.
The Meg Ryan.
The Meg Ryan. The Tom Hanks. We're going to fall in love. It's not going to be Sleepless in Seattle, but it's going to be a bad copy of it, or so I'm...
So I think I've heard.
You've Got Mail.